Okay, Wednesday, Tu Bishvat, January 31st, Shir number 35. We'll be starting again at 12:15, even though I feel responsible to march in public commerce, which isn't a good thing. So, starting from when, say, section 2, Parag Beis. And we're learning really the nitty gritty of Schar V'Onesh that a person gets, whether, so there's, he's talking about getting into Olam Haba or ceasing to exist. Those are the two alternatives there. Then you have Gan Eden or Gehenim. And that's what Tchias HaMeisim. And then you have in this world. So he described already that the kind of person will get into Olam Haba, and the person that basically has the majority of good deeds, but the bad has to be dealt with. It can't be wished away or ignored. First, he says it's taken care of in Olam Hazeh. We have a person has Yisurim or difficulties, whatever they may be. So that's the Onesh for the Ma'am Roim in Olam Hazeh, and that enables him to be able to go into Olam Haba. Then he said sometimes it's a little more serious than that, but not bad enough to get up to the Mazrega where you just don't go to Olam Haba and then you just cease to exist. So then there's Gehenim for that, and that purifies the Neshama from its impurities, and that's for a limited time. He says there's other things too, but he only mentions Gehenim by name. And then you go into Olam Haba, because it's a Chesed Hashem that he wants, like a Kavutza Gedola, a lot of people. In other Svarim he writes, this is point of Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelech Olam Haba, that as long as there's a spark of Ruchnius in a person, so either Ganim or Yisurim and Olam Hazeh will, or other Einshim like Ganim, will purify the person. So it turns out that all, or at least most of Kol Yisrael gets into Olam Haba. So let's go to paragraph Dalet again. We're in the middle, we're at the end of paragraph Dalet, but we'll learn it quickly, hopefully. Paragraph Dalet in Perek Beis, in Chelek Beis. Vamnam gozerot chas the Yisbara, because of his chesed, laharbus ha'atzolol of Nehu Odom, that they'll be able to go into Olam Haba, not just through the Yisurim of Olam that a person might suffer in Olam Hazeh. She must say, old min siruf acher, another type of purification. It has to be possible. Only Hashem knows what's doable and what's not doable. We don't even understand the accounting here. The Hainu Lemisha Gavar Bahoratik Boris Godol, that's all we can speak in very big, in generalities, that there's a tigboras of Ra. So it's not enough Olam Hazaz Yisurim. Achlo kolkach she yemishpot al avidu legamri. And it's not bad enough that he would cease to exist instead of going to Olam Haba. V'hu klal onshim, there's a group of punishments. Shayoy seroshim behem hu adin begehenim. So the most common and the most famous, the most known is Gehenim. V'kabono hu lahanish achotei kfichatov. He gets punished. V'ofan she'achrei he'onsho. In a way, we don't know exactly how. But after the onesh, lo yia ot chov olav al hamayisu harasha asa. So now he can go to Olam Haba. And he took care of all his accounts. Through this process, those who will cease to exist, those who will mamish get
lost, go off the map. Yiyu mizar lo kabir, be very, very few in number. Kinei lo yiyu elo osram shagavar behem arar shiachokach, it would have to be someone who is the ra, it was so gover, sheyesha sheyimotsu lehem mokam b'shem ponim, lios nish'orem b'gmol ha'amidi v'noha nitzchis. Nothing will work. So we talked last time, I don't want to go over it again, about Yisur min olam hazeh. This is why Chavos HaLavos and many others say you should welcome it. It's accomplishing a great deal for you. The fact that Gehenim is a chesed, it's painful for the soul. We don't even understand what that means. I mean, maybe we do when we have certain tragedies. Our soul feels pain, but it's very painful for the soul. It's worse than Yisurei Eov, of course, because Yisurei Eov was the Yisur in this world. Kaponim, this is how he sets it up. Ki ikru hu lolam shachra tchiyya, k'mo shezacharnu, which we're going to call olam haba, after tchiyya sameisim. Again, we say the words, glibly. We say the words maybe glibly cease to exist, but, if you try to wrap your head around it, it should be a very scary proposition. So one is that after tchiyah, olam haba, or ceasing to exist totally forever, achamasim haruim ligomel kodem lachein, and then if most of the person's deeds are good, and again, most doesn't mean numerically, because Baruch Hu knows how to count what weight to give various masim. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows if certain fantastic masim you did that were lauded in this world and people couldn't believe it, but maybe it was done shalom l'shma, maybe it was done to achieve recognition. Hashem has a lot of echos besides the kamus, and as the Rambam says, no one really can make these cheshbonos other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we trust. This is what the Chazal Vavah says in Shaar Bitachon, that's why Olam Haba is a matter for Bitachon, because we're relying on Hashem to be just, Tzadik V'Yoshar. We're relying on Him to do the right thing. We see in the Ramchal that he so to speak keeps straining to widen the circle of those that will be in Olam Haba. Not only straining Chas V'Shalom, but chesed this way and that way to get more people to be Zolchet Olam Haba. And again, many times, from the Ramchal, it would seem many, many times, Yisurim and difficulties in Olam Hazer. And, we say a kapara, but it really is a kapara, and it really is what's and another chesed Hashem is that down here the Yisurin is not as painful as it is in the Olam HaEmes. Right? The Gemara talks about just being inconvenienced could have a lot of effective kapara, even if it's not pain, but inconvenience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I want to ask you. We keep saying that the chesed. Hashem set up a system, very harsh system, very harsh, onesh, pain.
What do you mean by harsh? Who said it's harsh? You don't mean unfair.
No.
Okay. So it means the person did averos, which carry a harsh onesh, and the chesed is that he will go into olam haba. That's why I say it's a chesed, because that's getting him into Olam Haba. Maybe here, when you suffer the loss, a person suffers the loss of their life savings,
So they think there could be no greater calamity than that. But there can be, and there will, you know, a much, much greater calamity. So should the person go into the street and dance and sing, thank you Hashem? Well, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says he should. David HaMelech says, Otcha ki anisani, which many learn anisani means you tortured me, not you answered me. Anisani could have both meanings. Certainly, Otcha Hashem ki anastobi says, I will express my gratitude to you, Hashem, because you were angry with me and you showed your anger. So, in this world, it seems very harsh and it's very painful and the taka hurts. If you can totally accept the idea that it's not unjust and that it's deserved, then you have to be thinking, it hurts, but it's a tremendous chesed. Because the alternative would hurt even more. Or it wouldn't hurt at all. When you cease to exist, you don't feel a thing. Right? You don't feel a thing. You say, oh, I prefer that, I think. No, you wouldn't. Nobody really would want to cease to exist. It's just we can't contemplate it. So we say, okay, maybe that's better than feeling pain. I've never been there, but it's not better. It doesn't make any sense that it should be better. Right? Do you agree? Do you know what it means to cease to exist? It means there's no more you. No more. The end of the story. Atkan. You know, people can't even contemplate their own death, which is why it's so hard to fulfill the Divrei HaGemara, Shuv Yomecha Lefnei Misascha. And we believe in the Neshama will still be around. And we believe in the Gan Eden and Gehenim and Olam Abba. And we can't even, people, right? It's very, very difficult to contemplate one's own death. You have to be a gadol. You see the story of Rav Steinman. He was constantly contemplating his own death. Sometimes we need a wake-up call. A childhood friend of, well, not a friend of mine, a childhood friend of my brother's just passed away suddenly like that a week ago. Like that. I just found out last night. I ran to Gvarat Leibowitz. Anybody know Gvarat Leibowitz? No? BJJ, her brother was Nifta. Her brother's from Lower, lived in Muncie, Lower East Side, Muncie, Lakewood, Castell, but on this. In 1 second. Like my brother, Taka. They were good, they were friends. So I ran to Nachmol, today's the last day. I just found out 12 o'clock last night. It was really Hashem. Why did Hashem do that to me? Because it was a very big schus. Because Grant Leibowitz is Grant Leibowitz. I mean, you heard of her. She's like a Robinson. But I grew up with her. She was my sister's friend on a first name basis. So if I would have normally gone to the Menachem Oval, I would have peeked in and said, Hamokim, mumbled Hamokim Menachem Eschem, and left. Today I was in such a behola because I had a whole day scheduled today. And I found out 12 o'clock last night, so I ran over at 10 to 9 in the morning. And I sat with her, just me and her. We sat and we schmoozed for a half hour, like reminiscing about her parents, the side, her brother. You know, it was very good. So I figured that's why Hashem did that, so I could have this tremendous nicham aveilim, because who in Eretz Yisrael knows her brother? So she was a very big chesed, a real nicham aveilim, because I talked about her brother. She lives in Eretz Yisrael already, who knows how many years, right? So that was a chesed. That's why Hashem did that, I figure. Because it was amazing that I didn't know about it till late last night. Yes? Anyway, my point is, so it's very hard to contemplate our deaths. And sometimes you need something like that to happen, and you say, whoops, you know, who's next? So kol shekein, we can't envision ceasing to exist forever. Anyway, yeah.
Why should we not bristle the fact that Hashem could have created a different way of dealing with her? I mean, why do we accept this?
Your question could be made. First of all, it's a good question, but we're learning the answer as we learn Derech Hashem. I don't mean to criticize you at all, really not, but realize that it's only a good question because our understanding is so human and so finite. And really, when you're talking about Hashem, you're talking about Hoyer Hove Veyiye, Adon Kol, omniscient, omnipresent, Kol Yochol, above time, the creator of the entire universe, the entire world. So, I don't mean it badly, really. It's like laughable for a human whose understanding is like a speck of dust in the universe to ask such questions. But since we're human, we have these questions, and it's important to answer them. And we have answers, and that's why he wrote Derech Hashem, and we learned the answer. I don't know what your question is exactly. If your question is, why can't everybody just go to Olam Haba? And why do we have to have evil and bechira and we mess up and we have to get punished once we mess up? Like, why did that whole system have to be? Let's just all get past jail. We'll be meichel the $200. Past whatever it's called. What's that called? Where you do collect $200. Past start. Past go. And we'll collect $200. And so the Ramchal answered that. Now, we think that's the greatest thing in the world. But that's like being on welfare. You don't want to be on welfare, and you don't want to take stocker. And it sounds great, maybe, in like but you ask a person that works from 9 to 5, and works hard, and earns money, and say, would you like to go on welfare, or join up with Kupashol Stocker, we'll give you everything that you have now. No, no way. He doesn't feel good about that. He doesn't feel good with a freebie. And that's how Hashem created people. And therefore, the Ramchal says, and we learned this in section 1, that Hashem created a world in which there's a possibility. You say, well, it's not even fair. Animals can't do bad. Malachim can't do bad. Why am I thankful that I'm human? And I could do bad and get punished. The answer is that we're on a higher madrega than Malachim. And we should thank Hashem. If there's no bracha, we only say Shalom Sani Goy, Shalom Sani Obed, I say Shalom Sani Isha, Shalom Sani Kirtono. It's true, we don't have a bracha thanking Hashem that we're Shalom Sani Behema, or Shalom Sani Oven, or Shalom Sani Ace, or Shalom Sani. Hey, you know. Who, like, wow. And this is the first 5 cheshbonos in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, when he lists 30 cheshbonos to think about. So the first 5 is, thank Hashem you were created, thank Hashem you are human, thank Hashem you're Jewish, you know, it's like amazing. So, and the answer is, Ramchal explains this. This is why he wrote Derech Hashem, to answer questions such as yours. And the answer is, because he wanted to do the greatest good possible, because Hashem is Tov, and therefore he wants to be Meitiv, Miderech HaTov, Miteva HaTov, Hula Heitiv, and Hashem being perfect will only do what's perfectly good, not a flawed good, and the perfectly good is for you to earn it, to have the possibility. You know what Hashem said? You know, there's a joke, can Hashem make a rock that he can't pick up? Right? You just thought of that question? Wow, you're so smart. But the truth is, he did. He did. He can and he did. And it's called Bechira. And it's really impossible to contemplate that Hashem created an area of life that I don't want to say the words, because it would be on precursors. But where apparently he has no control over it. And the Chazal Avodah struggles with this question in Shara Avodah Salokim. How can these two tracks both coexist? That Hashem can do whatever he wants. L'cho Hashem ha'gadula v'agvura v'teferet v'anetzach v'yahod k'chol b'shmayim v'oretz. And we have Bechira. How we can go against Hashem's will. Like, so there's a lot of answers to it. It's very interesting. You know, the Rabbam answers because that's Hashem's will. Hashem's will is that we can do things against His will. That's the Rambam. It's not so simple. Very, very deep. Chabad Vavah says you just have to live with the contradiction. That's all. It's too deep to answer. It's a contradiction that's based into the very foundations of the universe. And we seem to have free will, and I know that I can do whatever I want, except, you know, mitzad evil. I mean, if I want to shoot someone, I might miss, because Hashem doesn't want that person to die. But otherwise, I can go now and do the biggest aveir in the world. You know, and I'm not going to get paralyzed, and I'm not going to get a stroke, and unless I would have anyway, of course. And because that's... So the Chaim Avodah says, you're just going to get a headache if you try to figure it out. He gives a few answers that people give. He says he's unsatisfied with any answers. And he says it's just live with the contradiction, that's all. I'm saying, Hashem did something that's theologically impossible. That's why I said he did make a rock he can't pick up. He made Bechira. That's what he did. He made an area of life. But I don't know what the answer is. Can he really not pick up the rock? That's impossible. On the other hand, we have Bechira. Anyway, he did that. He did that because we don't know what he did. So the Rambam says it's a contradiction that you will never, ever figure out. You just have to live with the contradiction. That's all. Just live with it and forget about it. Like it's not. Just go through life with your Bechira. You seem to have Bechira, so just make, you know, just forget about this philosophical, theological question. Others didn't. The Khuzri gives an answer. The Rambam gives an answer. The Rambam seems to give a rather simplistic answer, because Rambam's question is, how can you do nothing against Hashem's will? His answer is, because it's Hashem's will that you could be able to do something against His will. It's like a higher will. But the question is really deeper than just against Hashem's will. It's my freedom to choose means that Hashem can't do what He wants. Okay, let's stop. This is not what we're learning now. So it's a chesed. So that's your answer. I mean, but that involves... That's a heavy-duty chesed. So if the king gives you a diamond, and it means that he trusts you and he likes you and you're one of his favorite people, and he's giving you a diamond to watch over, and you'll get rewarded. But yeah, if you make a flaw in it, you're going to get punished. You're going to get severely punished. Because it's a diamond. It's like, it's the diamond that belongs in the crown of the king. So you're going to be severely punished. So do you have the right to say, King, I love you, but I don't want to be given the responsibility of watching that diamond? So the truth is you don't have a choice. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Al karchach atanolad. You're born against your will. You don't want to know. The neshama doesn't want to be born. The neshama says, I want to stay up here where it's nice and cozy, warm. I get three hot meals a day. Why do I want to go into this cruel... Again, I told you about the Truman Show. I mentioned the Truman Show, a movie about it's a movie about they constructed like a whole world that a person lived in, and everything was to like it was like a television show, and it wasn't real. It wasn't real life, and then he discovers it, and he wants to break out. And I say it really is a true story, because the director in the movie is Hashem, and we are this guy Truman, and really everything that happens in our lives is a nisayon, and it's geared to a list to see how we'll respond, because that was the point of this television show within the movie, that people would see how he responds to different nisyonos. But life really is like that. But the point of the movie is that it's bad to be that way. See, we don't think so, because by us the director is Hashem. And there's Olam Haba at the end of the thing. And the movie is like a person who's just doing it because he wants to make a television show. But at the end of the show, which is the end of the show, he breaks out. He discovers what's happening to the... And the guy says to him, you know, why do you want to go outside? It's to the outside world where it's cruel and people are mean to each other and it's painful. And here you're safe and you're secure and we control everything that happens to you. And you have Bechira. I mean, you think, you know, we provide you with choices, but you're safe. We're watching over you. Why would you want to... So in the movie, he wants to break free because but we have Hashem, so we can't break free and we don't want to. But that's the idea of Al Kochach HaTanolad, that why do you want to come down to a cruel, evil world where you're not evil, everybody else is evil, where people are so cruel to each other? We know that. I mean, at one point or another. It's unfair, it's cruel, it's cold, it's tragic. So the Neshama doesn't want to be born, but Hashem knows that he's being a mative. Hashem knows. And then the proof of the pudding is Al Korchachata Mace. You know, when it's time to die, Hashem says, remember you didn't even want to be here in the first place? He says, yeah, but I got used to it. You say, you know, I'd like, can I stick around a little longer, please? And so the answer to your question is that this is why we're learning Derech Hashem, and this is why we're learning Chayvus Halvavus, and it really is a hischaskus in Emuna to believe that it's the greatest chesed that can happen to you. So there's a lot of mesholim that are in books, and you know, you have to read the books, and right, nobody minds the pain of an operation that's cutting out a cancer. Right? No one minds that pain. No one says, I'm getting rid of the cancer. It's not a good thing, but it's so painful. Come on. You know, thanks for the pain, doctor. Can you cut a little deeper and make it a little more painful to make sure you get out every last cell of cancer so there shouldn't be one cell left, and then boom, the whole cancer spreads again? That's the pain we feel. That's cleaning us from our virus, from our impurities. And they're all self-imposed. We have no one to blame but ourselves. It's true, it's very hard to be a pure tzaddik. Other main tzaddik boros ashiyasa tov lo yechto. You know, no one is perfect. People are not perfect. But at the end of the day, and we're going to learn this in the Ramchal, at the end of the day, we did it ourselves. You can't blame Hashem. We made bad choices. We gave in to our yetzer hara. We gave in to our tzaddik. So now we have to pay the piper. But the whole thing's a chesed. You don't want to cease to exist. That's too horrible to contemplate. Too horrible to contemplate. We don't realize it now because we can't even envision it. We can't even envision dying. I'm not going to die. You know, you see these t-shirts, you know, I plan on living forever, so far so good.
A question, I don't know if there's an answer, but there are people who go through such missions, they break down and they don't want to leave
anymore. So they want to see it to exist. First of all, you know, in halach, if someone commits suicide, so you don't bury him together. Well, let me finish first. You don't bury him in a cemetery. He doesn't get to Kevi Yisrael. And you don't have to shiver for him. For the last few hundred years, that halach is ignored. Why? Because it's increasingly recognized that suicide is a mental illness. That no one... It could be you're driven to the mental illness because you're racked with pain. Right? But you got the people who can only blink an eye and they're on these machines and they have ALS, whatever. They're thrilled to be alive. They don't want to die. Okay, they're not in pain. It's true. You know, they're not in pain. It's very difficult. I mean, a person can be in a situation, and you know, that could be his nisayon in life. You know, Eov wanted to die, but look what happened. He changed, and then he recovered, and then he led a life, and he was more successful than he was before he took ill, Eov. So, that there are people that want to commit suicide, it's very, very few people are driven to that. Of those that are, we perceive it now as a mental illness. Now the question is, at what point, does the person have bechira? Did the person lose bechira at some point? That I can't answer you. A person could lose bechira. He could be so driven by pain that he... Look, when Eov cursed Hashem because he was so racked with pain, I think most Mefarshim learned, bottom line, he was not punished for it. He was considered an onus. He was considered that he had no choice in the matter. He did not have bechira. You know, when you're driven by pain, you know, that's why they say torture is not really a very good way to elicit information from prisoners, because you'll say anything to stop the torture. So you'll just say what you think they want to hear, and you can't give it much credence because you just need the pain to stop. And you'll do anything. You'll say anything. You'll do anything. The sheikhs that do not approve of torture. There are those who are, you know, lefto pinky commie liberals. You know, we don't like those people. But those that just intellectually don't hold as torturing prisoners, not because they have weak constitutions, but because they say it's not worth it. You never know if the information you're getting is really true or not. Anyway, I don't know if I answered your question. It's an emunah thing. We believe that the pain... I mean, this is an age-old question. It goes back to thousands of years. It goes back virtually to the beginning of the Bria. This is an emunah thing. It's here, you know. There aren't many people who can, in Rabbi Avigdor Miller's words, go outside and dance a jig when tragedy strikes. Not many people could do that. That's all. Certainly if someone dies, it's a whole different story. If someone dies, then the Torah demands that we show respect for the mace by sitting shiva, by crying, by saying a hesped. We show that we feel the loss. You're not bemoaning Hashem's judgment. You're not supposed to. You know, hopefully you're not. It's saying to the kadin. So why are you crying and wailing and you can't... Because there's a loss in your life. There's a void in your life. You don't want to have that void. The person was like, if your arm is amputated, it's all of a sudden like, where's my arm? And sometimes it itches and there's no arm there. Right? So that's the pain of avelos. So that's, okay. But there you can't dance a jig. Because it's not covered on mace. You're disrespecting the mace if you're dancing a jig. But like, theoretically you should. Theoretically you should. Or at least Vayido Maharon. He was silent. Like, he had nothing to say. Why didn't he dance a jig? In Avigdor Miller's term? Because on death you don't say it. Because you have to sit shiva, you have to cry, you have to say hasbeidim. Because you have to respect the mace. But the truth is that for you, for the person that's suffering from the death, I mean, here's a fellow that just died, this fellow, and he left behind, you know, a wife, a large family, and they lost their, like, the mainstay of the house, right? It's very, what are they going to do? So it's very painful. Okay, I tried to answer your question. The short answer to your question is that's what the Derech Hashem says, that in order to elicit the biggest tova, he created this situation of bechira, and that the man's punishment when we do bad, but the bad is good. That's what he's explaining here. Ma'at mizair, very, very few people cease to exist. Hashem's chesed is so great that he has us suffer in this world and suffer in Gehenna, so that we should make it to the ultimate pleasure that we can't even contemplate. It'll be just amazingly wonderful, and all the pain and suffering, which is painful and we suffer, will pale in comparison. It'll fade into the background. It'll be like childbirth. I never gave birth to a child. But the child's born, and I don't know, you know, I'm told it's like probably the most painful thing in the universe, to give birth to a child. Very, very painful. It's like kidney stones, I'm told. Because a lot of kids have kidney stones. Because you can't imagine the pain. And then it's like childbirth, that's the pain. But then, you know, the kid, you start seeing what, why do you have to have the pain of childbirth? Don't blame me, blame Chava. She's the one that did it. What's the purpose of the pain of childbirth? I don't know. I see, I don't have these answers like Rabbi Miller did. So there has to be a purpose to it. It's not just, you know, it has to be purposeful. What is the purpose of the pain of childbirth? I don't know. We'll see. 1,000%. I mean, anyway, Miller had answers to everything. I don't. Yeah.
So you have, let's say, if you're a father or mother that passes away early and leaves a bunch of little kids behind. So they're the ones that are feeling the pain and the punishment. But they're little kids. They didn't, like, they couldn't have done anything wrong as little kids to be punished. Now, is this like a Gilgul from another life?
No, you don't have to say. You don't have to say that. I don't know about the pain they're suffering, but I know when Rabbi Bender from Far Rockaway came to be Menachem Oval, my brother's wife, my late brother's wife and child, he had a child that was still 13, 14 years old. He told him that he lost the father, he, Rabbi Bender, lost the father when he was 14, and also, and it shaped his life, and it made him what he was today, and he became a mechanech, someone that's famous for understanding children, for dealing with children properly. And he says, it gave me a sensitivity, because in the Truman Show, his father died. I don't know if he did. That was part of his life, that his father died when he was 2 years old. And they explain in the show that was in order that he grow up with a certain way, which is how you grow up when your father dies. So again, Hashem, the Truman Show was true and real, and we're living it. And Hashem is in charge of the show. And he plans these things. I can't answer you. I don't have an answer for the pain that they have. I don't know. See, they're ketanim, they don't deserve the pain. So what is the... How do you justify the pain? But I mean, it's an age-old question. It's not like, I don't know. But the very fact that they're growing up without a father is the story of their life. And that, you know, Hashem created billions and billions of neshamas, and every single one has a different life. And this is the life he has to lead, that he grew up without a father. Yeah. Okay. We'll stop here. I know we didn't learn anything today. We're still up to where we were up the last time. Okay.